Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome,
but we're hopeful and justice will end. Life, life matters.
Freddie Gray. Sam Du Bois. Philando Castile. Terrence Crutcher. Aaron Sterling. Jamal Clark. Jeremy McDowell. William Chapman II. Walter Scott. Eric Harris. Tamir Rice. Akia Gurley. Michael Brown. Eric Gardner. George Floyd.
Good evening and welcome to the podcast, The Attic. A Black Perspective, an urban podcast. I want you to understand how it is that we feel. I've got the crew standing by. The messenger, baby sis, baby brother, Nurse Carmen, Sister Tippy, and of course, Triple OG out of Florida. Let's podcast.
Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I'm getting a little closer. I'm going to start harmonizing next week. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. And welcome to the Monday Night Podcast, The Attic. It is a urban-based podcast coming out of New Jersey, and very few of the members are actually in New Jersey, but we all hail from New Jersey. Tonight, before we get started, I got to check on my crew, make sure I got support tonight. How's everybody doing, fellas and ladies?
Good.
Doing well. Yeah, doing well.
Okay. All right. We've got an interesting subject for tonight. I want to talk about, and it's weird. It's a weird topic for tonight. We got a cast of Black people. We want to talk about why white people won't understand what white privilege is. And let me say, the best we can do is give you our perspective, because it can give you how we feel. But because I'm a firm believer, if you're not white, you don't know how white people feel. If you're Black, now don't get me wrong, you can understand and have a good grasp of what's going on, but there is some intrinsic shit that is defined by race that if you're not in that race, you don't understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And there's little shit that you don't even pay attention to, but it helps define you as a Black person, a white person, an Indian person, Asian. It doesn't matter. There are things of your culture that you keep with you, that's a part of you that make you who you are. And tonight, for some reason, I guess we want to talk about white privilege. Not understanding white people, not understanding white privilege, because, and again, before I start, a lot of the listeners hate it when I say white people. They want to tell me I'm talking about every single white person in the world, even the one that I'm engaged to. So I don't understand that nonsense when they talk to me like that. But when I say white people, we're just talking about in general, not every single one. Why can't people who receive something that they didn't ask for understand it? Well, and again, it's not a hard concept to fathom or to understand. If I didn't ask you to stop by my house every day and just give me $100, and you started doing that from kindergarten, I'm in the 12th grade, now I'm expecting that. I never asked for it, but if you miss a day or two, I'm going to be a little bent out of shape because I'm expecting that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what white privilege does to white people in America. You never asked for it. Never asked for it. But it was something that was just given to you. And because it was given to you, you accepted it and never thinking about, or should you have to think about, the fact that this is something particularly special for you and people who look like you. See, when you get gifts like that, you might think that that's common. That happens to everybody. But as you get older, you begin to see, wait a minute. If that was me, that wouldn't happen that way. Or wow, if I would have done the same thing, I'm sure my punishment wouldn't have been what he just gave this person over here. So it's a gift given to you. You didn't ask for. And very few, or you have to be a very conscious-minded individual to want to fight to give those gifts up. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? If you join, like, you know, the multicolored people who were in, who marched in protest for the George Floyd incident. I don't want to put a name on it. Or Black Lives Matter. I don't want to put a name on it as an organization, but as a concept. The people who were not black, who was out there demonstrating that, yes, everybody's life matter, particularly black people. See, those people made a conscious decision that I'll accept fear, even if it means I have to give up a little bit of my privilege. Now, again, that's a tough call to make because you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, would I want to give up this gift? This, and again, it can be so subtle that white privilege exists that, you know, it doesn't have to be lightning and thunderbolts. For an example, real quick example, you have the privilege of having a positive relationship with the police. Now, think about that. And what that says, and a few more examples I have, is you have the ability, even though I'm saying have a positive relationship with the police, you have the ability, because of your color, to not have to waste a thought process on if the police stop me, I'm going to get beat. You don't, again, and I can't even put my finger on the benefit that gives you, that gives people who don't have to think like that. You pull a person over of color, the thought process is 1,000% different. And in today's environment, one of the thoughts that's going to go through a person of color's head is, I hope I make it home tonight. Or, what's this? At the very least, I hope I just get arrested. I've done nothing. But at the very least, I hope I just get arrested. You know, I mean, again, that's that white privilege that we're talking about tonight. And again, I talk about it in respect or in concept of it's a privilege white people, I'm trying to figure a politically correct way to say, white people didn't ask for it, but you got it, you enjoy it, and it's so intertwined in the fabric of lives that sometimes you forget it's special. Just another example, and tell me what you think about, again, the small things, the intrinsic things. White people have the privilege of being favored by school authorities. Now, again, I'm reading this from an editorial on just some of the things that white privilege brings people. But what I liked about the article was it touched on things that most people wouldn't give a second thought to. But think about the psychological damage it's doing to the person who's not getting that privilege. You and I report for an interview to get into Harvard. When you and I sit in the chair in the waiting room, when the interviewer comes out, the difference in his face when he looks at the white candidate to the black candidate, again, No one said a word, but the subliminal damage to that black psyche at that point, again, you can't replace that. And this is some of the small things I think that white privilege brings to white people that they don't understand that's damaging to people who are not white. What's your thought on what we're talking about, crew? Talk to me, somebody.
I think for them to acknowledge that there is such a thing is what, in my opinion, is what I think brought those kids out, those young people out in Milwaukee.
Right. And I agree 100% with that. You know, and of all places, we talk in Milwaukee. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I say, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I use Milwaukee as an example. It happened in most of the big cities in this country. That
right.
There were white people out there marching with the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think what brought them out there was the guilt of their white privilege.
Okay, and you know what? It's so funny that the media has put so much taint on Black Lives Matter movement that even I myself, I don't go with the movement. I go with the a mission statement. Black Lives Matter, not as part of that movement that some have, you know, the founders not black or for whatever reason. I'm not with the movement. I'm with the concept. Let's talk about some more of that intrinsic or that hidden white privilege that allows people who enjoy it or who to receive it to give them a upper hand on almost everything. I have the privilege of attending.
I think a good showing of that white privilege is kind of what they're doing right now in Arizona. How they're recounting those votes.
Well, okay. I again, that is definitely.
I mean, it's a group of people that are doing it. But when you look at the group of people that are doing it, you know, it's predominantly a group of white people, and that's they feel that that's their privilege, their right to be able to do so.
And you know what? I'm good. Everybody's got rights. The pursuit of happiness. But for that to be allowed at this point, I mean, you know, you sometimes you got to ask yourself, okay, what's the end game? Let's say, for example, and again, they've already counted. They've already determined that this is probably one of the cleanest elections we've had, other than the current president complaining. This is probably one of the cleanest elections we had. So for you to have that happen, what's your end game here? Do you just want to flex? Let's say, for example, he comes up with 10,000 more votes. So what? What are you going to do? Take Joe Biden out of the White House? See, that can't happen. So the fact
the end game is to stop minorities to be able to from voting. It's that privilege. It's back to that privilege of keeping us down and not to allow us to be able to vote. And when I say people of color.
If he can find 10,000 more votes, that proves this point that there was some kind of cheating going on there.
But
which
it,
enforced,
it's not
like Jesus said,
because they have all of their people counting those votes. So it's really not a legitimate. It's not being counted legit. It's not being done legitimately.
That whole based on, and we're gonna talk about this with Arizona, and then we're gonna leave them crooked ass folks alone for a minute. Based on who they have counting the votes, based on the manner in which they're doing this, if they don't prove what it is they set out to prove, then they some idiots, man. I'm sorry. There is nothing fair or nothing credible about what's happening in Arizona right now. So when they come back and say, yeah, he had 50,000 more votes, everybody should expect that. You know what I'm saying? I put together my team to go in here to evaluate this data so they get what I need them to get. But it don't matter, though. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he gets to say, see, I told you so. But
the whole thing is to get their base riled up to show to prove that lie.
And also put in stricter laws
that they've been trying to push.
To keep black people from voting.
Well, again, we've shown that we can vote and we will vote. Again, we just got to be prodded. We got to be motivated.
To me, what his plan is look, if y'all can just show where, let's say, 10,000 votes was miscast on my part, that's case enough for them now to put in stricter voting laws for against black people.
Well,
and brown
again,
people of color.
Whatever it is, they hope to accomplish in Arizona. Trust and believe, they're going to accomplish that. I don't give a fuck if they want to find, if the goal is to find 2 million more votes than the population of the whole state, they're going to find that. I put my team in here. The results cannot be anything other than what I want them to be. There's nobody checking anybody. You know what I'm saying? This all family in here. This family business.
But once they do it in Arizona, it's just only a matter of time before they want to recount it in all the states that he lost in.
Well, let me say this, okay? He's just looking for somebody to stand up there and lie on his behalf that, yeah, you know, there was 10,000 votes for him that wasn't cast.
Well,
ain't nobody
again,
do that
can,
yet, but eventually somebody's going
to
do
that. But you know what? I mean, he can use that for what he wanted to use it for, but I think that the nation is satisfied that everything went legit. So, I mean, again, so they can do whatever the fuck they want to do with that. I think the nation as a whole is satisfied that he got his ass beat, and let's just move on, man. You know how I say, Jimmy Zane, let him fight another day. That's how my man on the Water Boy said it, right? He said, hey, you know, this day, come back and fight another day. And that's what Trump needs to do. Just go on. That's what he said. Go ahead, regroup, and then come on back. But now, let's get back to, as we continue with subtleties that promote white privilege. I think this was an excellent one here. I have the privilege of learning about my race in school. Talk to me, man. I mean, does nobody not feel that? When I go to school, I'm sorry, it's mostly lies. But I learned that we as white people have done all those fantastic things that we didn't do.
Well, mm-hmm.
We didn't do it. But we learned that we did it, and you know what? When you learn that shit from kindergarten up to grad school, you start to believe that shit is true. Unless you have
to brainwash, you have to start at an early age.
Well, I mean, you know, the whole nation been brainwashed because, again, when you teach that nonsense that's being taught, that this not true shit, but it's built is based to promote white people. That in itself, again, you know what I'm saying? That's that white privilege that gives you an edge on somebody else. It was so important that they made Jesus white. Now, you know, I mean, watch it. I'm not going to get into what I was going to get into, but it was that important that they build their self-pride and self-worth, that everybody, everything of importance, it was necessary that we build that into the school curriculum so we continue to enforce white is good, black is bad. And on every level, white is good, black is bad. Whether we teach who discovered America, Christopher Columbus. Come on, man. I mean, again, everybody can get credit in school, except more times than not, the real people who did it.
And that's how you keep those people down, by convincing them
the real people
them
who did
shit.
It, we all want to talk
there
about
you go.
That. And again, I tie that into white privilege again because, see, this is being done. The average white person didn't write the curricula. You get to the same. You apply just like I applied. But everything about that curricula is slanted to make you understand that white people, and not even, what is it, not even so much white people, white males. It took them forever to acknowledge the white female. White males did everything. And it's so important to them that any woman of significance that were found in passages throughout the book, the Bible, they made them they disappear. I don't want anybody thinking anything other than white males, white males, white males. And as long as that is the mindset, then that same white male anti anything not white is going to affect how we grow in this nation. That's what I'm saying. You look at more subliminal or I call them subtleties or niceties. You look at the children's books that you read in school. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everything about what you learn is geared towards you believing that it's all about white people. People of color, you know what's the long range and Tonto. Tonto was the sidekick. Tarzan. Tarzan must have been a badass because they made him white. I say like, my man, yeah, they made him white. So again, I mean, it seems like it was a part of a master plan from the beginning that this is what we're going to do. And every generation has to keep enforcing it and enforcing it. But I think they hit a glitch with this generation. Because I think this generation, and maybe one generation ahead of this, is saying, nah, fuck that, man. That shit ain't right. And I'm not supporting it. In fact, I'm not going to support it with enough veracity that I'm going to go out and protest against it. Now America don't know what to do. See, because this little wrinkle was not a part of maintaining white privilege. And they do not know how to act to it because I'm sure when they laid out the master plan, at no point did the individuals who put this shit together, and it's put together, ever factor in that that white people would object to white privilege because it's not fair to everybody. They couldn't imagine that would happen, and that's what's happening right now. Go ahead, baby sis. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had something to put in there.
No. I was going to say no. That definitely wasn't factored in at all. They didn't see that one coming. So now, no, they don't know how to handle that.
And I know that sounds crazy, but I believe that. I really do. I believe that the fact that enough white people said, you know what, damn it, I say, God damn it, this is just wrong. And I'm not going to stand up for this anymore. And I think enough people said, I understand that me doing nothing is tantamount to me supporting the white privilege. So instead of doing nothing, I'm going to do something on the side of just being fucking right. And I do. I have mad love and respect for anybody of that that's not black to get out and protest and march. Mad respect. And let me tell you something. I thought that when shit, you know, when the billy clubs and shit started coming out, that a lot of those people would dissipate or the crowd would get smaller, but I was wrong. And again,
no, they hung in there.
Cause, and again, that let me know this ain't some bullshit for the cameras, man. When you believe in a cause, then all hell that cause, and that was the cause I think that helped America start to turn the corner.
You know, I feel that I think this country is a big melting pot now, and you know, as opposed to the way it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, now, you know, everything is so diverse now, and so it's just more natural now for people to, you know, want to, you know, stand up for the cause because more people have, you know, grandchildren that are, you know, that may be mixed or something like that, or you know what I mean. So it's just it's just more natural for them to want to, you know, stand up for the cause because, like I said, it's more of a melting pot now. It's just more diverse than the way things used to be.
And you know, the diversity has always been here, but the passion that's associated with that diversity now, another thing I think that fuels the, and I'm going to use the word from the good old Reverend Jesse Jackson, that fuels the Rainbow Coalition, everybody's mad about something. And if I'm already mad, now when I look over there to see the injustice perpetrated against a people, that adds to my anger or that fuels my fire. And now I can go out and help you voice your issue also. See, everybody's not happy. So if I'm already pissed off, it allows people to see. Damn, you know what? I heard a white person say, I'm sorry, I've been hearing black people talk about this shit forever, but now that I get to see it, oh my God. Yeah, you damn right. Oh my God! But if you don't see it, or if you don't have to live it, it's hard to believe this shit, man.
Yeah, videos have helped out a lot. That's for sure.
A whole lot. In fact, from the whole George Floyd case, if I leave there with one thing, if I had to get a T-shirt and put a writing on it, hey, take your cameras out. And when you see the police involved with whatever looks suspicious, start filming that shit. Now, again, you don't want to interrupt or interfere with the process, but definitely start filming that shit. Because as I close the podcast, had it not been from a film of a bystander, the policeman would have probably not been in jail right now. Because the body cam showed that don't give you the angles and shit that you need. Hey, but listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what I'm saying? So even if the cop got the body cam on, you ain't looking. You're not getting what you need to get. No body cam from the police officers showed the shit that girl showed. None of them. Hey, but listen. This is co-producer. This is co-producer, and I appreciate you listening to the podcast, The Attic. Help us grow The Attic. If you like the information or the conversation that takes place here on Monday night, go to Blog Talk Radio and follow the podcast. I only need about another 100, maybe 200,000 people to download or follow this podcast, and then we're going to take off. Again, we only need another 200,000.
I got a question.
All right, that's a small number, right? We got faith.
I got a nervous condition, and I got a question also too. Who can't sit
quick.
Still?
You got 10 seconds. Go.
I hear somebody fidgeting around. Who can't sit still? Or is it just me?
I think it's you.
No, it ain't me. You ain't hear all that like somebody was fidgeting. But had an earring or something in their ear or something. In the phone, you didn't hear that noise? You go back and listen to that.
Okay.
Maybe it's my nerves. Let me take my medicine.
That's what I'm saying. there you go. You diagnosed the shit for me. But in the words of Don Cornelius, love, peace, and soul.
He actually said peace, love, and soul.
Okay,
good night, everybody.
You correct me on my show. You couldn't have called
good
me
night.
After. Huh? All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Peace.